So I just got to give a quick shout out. This has nothing to do with the sermon at all, but to that play that we had this morning, I may or may not have told them to do it last Sunday. So whether you liked it or not, that's my good or my bad. So hope you liked it. So as we had this past Wednesday, it was Ash Wednesday. And what before we go into the next section of the prison letters here in Scripture, I wanted to just reflect on that time as we start the season of Lent, too. Now, my house, we all absolutely are horrible at Lent. We forget within the first week every habit that we try to give up. I try to give up sweet tea from McDonald's specifically because I absolutely love McDonald's. I could eat it every day for every meal. Pam, I see the judgment on your face, and I'm not okay with that. This is a place of love, not judgment. But within the first 3 days, I absolutely caved. I caved hard, and I got like 3 sweet teas that day because I was having withdrawals, and I have no shame about that. This was my sophomore year in high school, and my mom was she made a lot of fun of me. We'll just leave it at that. But it's a good time to break away from old habits that we would say are unhealthy or hold us back from either pursuing our passions or pursuing the Lord. And I think one of the greatest things that we can do in the season of Lent, and I talked about this in our devotion that we did Ash Wednesday, what my family has adopted is instead of just trying to give up an old habit that's very hard, that's very part of us, that we would still definitely need to work on, but it would take more than just, 40 days to get over. We try to add something that's good. Try to add a new habit instead of taking one away. For example, my mom simply just to drink more water this season. Just to start that habit of a healthy lifestyle. And I think when we talk about Lent, habits are something that are a major part of it. Because I believe there are 2 important parts of the Lenten season. That's reflecting, a time of reflection on ourselves, on our purpose, or any sin that we are struggling with, and a time of redemption as we go into Easter, in the Easter season, in Jesus' resurrection. So let's take a look at the scripture that we had for this past week. It's going to be, this is my fault for not being in the bulletin, 2 Corinthians verses chapter 5, verse 20 through chapter 6, verse 10. So let me get my finger on here. There we go. All right, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Through the glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So again, it's a time of reflection, reminding ourselves that God has set us apart for a specific purpose, but more specifically, he has set us apart as his children. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Christ has set us apart. We are the ones to give the message. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. It's a, I think, like a loaded statement right there. Very high church terms, the great reconciliation, as I've heard it before in many other sermons. What Paul is talking about is simply God has his arms open. In this season, God has his arms open to each and every one of us. And he's simply saying, reflect. Take the time to reflect. Is there a habit that's holding you back from me? Is what he's saying. Love that kid. Or is he saying, give me your burdens. I'll hold on to them. I'll carry you through any pain. Now you see, I think he's saying both, because it's a daily walk with God. It's not just a one-time thing where we say we give up our sins and it's all good from there. God does forgive us at that point, but it's a daily battle. Amen? For example, I remember in high school, I would all the time say that I was, you know, a Christian. I want to be a youth minister. I was labeled as the Christian kid that every kid secretly did not like, but this kid was nice to everyone, so it was okay. And the reason I say that is because I wasn't actually practicing true love of Jesus. I was judging all my friends for any habits that I thought were wrong, anything that I thought was a sin. Notice I'm saying I. In reality, I was trying to play God. Have you ever done that before? Have you tried to play God, thinking for good reasons we're showing others the wrong? We're showing others the wrong things they're doing, but instead you're just saying, no, that's not okay. I'm just pushing you to the side. When I think of the reconciliation through Jesus Christ, what Paul is talking about, be reconciled to God, it's simply saying, remember, the first habit to not have is to play God. Don't play God. God's saying, that's my job. Remember, I have the whole world in my hands, like that song says. I know the exact amount of hairs on your head, the colors of your eyes, and your deepest and darkest secrets. So then, what is holding you back from the reconciliation? Verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now there's a little translation on mine. It says, or instead of to be sin, instead of saying a sin offering. And I'm sure everyone knows in here of how Jesus went on the cross for our sin. He took our sin on the cross with him. And through that, the simple way, once we break the habit that we feel is holding us back from God, is to let Jesus come in and take control. I know a lot of us in here, there's some hard times in this community right now. Families are being hurt, torn apart. But the only thing that I feel like that we can really do is we have to give all of that pain that we feel and be honest with God. Be honest in the situation. God, I am extremely hurt by what's going on right now. Make it a habit to be honest with God. How you're feeling. Because a relationship is two-sided. It's not just simply saying thank you, thank you, thank you, which is what we need to be doing, but it's also being real. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Paul is not just simply talking about a time over 2,000 years ago when Jesus simply died on the cross and beat death. No, God is still working. Jesus is still working to change lives every day. The time of God's favor is now. And the reason I know that is because all of you showed up this morning to church. To show how important it is to be in the presence of community, in God's presence. The time of God's favor is now. And now is the day of salvation. Because God is still working. He's not done working yet. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. And through all this, Paul goes in this long list of instead of doing this, we do that. Instead of this, that, this, that. A pattern that he does. For example, the first one. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, and sleepless nights and hunger. Through the hardship, we still remain hopeful. Through the hardship, we still have the habit. We still reflect on the fact that God is ultimately in control. That God loves us. That he is not a God of anger, of unjust punishment. He's not a God of pride. Hurt. He is a God of love. And he's right here in the time now. In every minute of hardships, distresses, in the beatings that we feel that life hands out to us every day, he's right there. Whether it be medical emergencies, family problems, or just hurt or depression that you feel that you have. God is right there. It says it in the scriptures. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. That's like the battle cry as we go into the Lent season, as we start to reflect into Easter. In purity, understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. There Paul goes again with his weapons. He's a very weapon-oriented guy. Does anyone notice that? Talks a lot about weapons because the reason is he thinks that spiritual warfare is a very real thing. That is a daily battle to be a soldier in the army of God. That's the way he puts it. I mean, to tell you the truth, he's right. Every day brings new challenges. Like someone running down the middle to distract you while you're speaking. Every day brings new challenges, new hardships, new pains, but it also brings new joys. There is always joy when there is pain. The reason I say that is because, again, God does not stop. He doesn't stop working, and he doesn't stop loving. Again, in the truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed. Because through the power of Jesus, we have the ability to keep going. Through the love that we share in this community, in this room right here, that's what keeps us going. I know for me, that's what keeps bringing me back on Sundays. I get excited to come and share in this community that we have here. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. So in this time of reflection, what is it that you truly have? What is it that you have in your heart? Is it love? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it any fruit of the Spirit? Or is there pain? Hunger for more? Heartache? Anger? And here's the thing. I'm not condemning by asking those things. That's okay. Because again, we have to be honest with ourselves of where we're at. I know there have been times and seasons, especially in this past month, of anger and pride for me. But again, it's a daily battle of giving it up to God. So what are you going to do this Lent season? Are you going to give up a habit? Give up something that's holding you back? Or are you going to create a new habit to bring you closer to God? Closer with Jesus. He's got his arms open wide. And he's saying, I'm right here. Just whenever you're ready. Come on home. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.